This is Jason Holleran. I proudly served for 33 years, culminating as the Deputy Commandant at West Point. Put this on your calendar. World War II weekend inside Old Bethpage Village Restoration on Long Island. Scores of operational vintage armor, in formation, May 18th and 19th. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman invites you to join him in saluting America's greatest generation and all those who have worn the uniform in defense of our freedoms. That's May 18th and 19th, presented by the Museum of American Armor.
The Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. It's a great pleasure to be with you as always. And we bring in my dear friend, Matt Schlapp, who's the chairman of the American Conservative Union, Fox News political contributor. He's running his big CPAC conference down in Maryland, outside of Washington, D.C. Matt, welcome back. I was just talking to Kellyanne Conway. Did Nikki Haley really say that woke was more important and more difficult than the COVID pandemic? Did she really say that?
I don't know. You know, I did catch part of her speech.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm sorry.
It's interesting, Larry. We had Nikki Haley yesterday. We had Mike Pompeo yesterday. We had Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, we have all the announced presidential candidates. We'll obviously have President Trump today. And, you know, here's the thing I find interesting. Usually, like in 2016, there's this huge conflict over, do we handle an issue this way or that way, or is this a big issue or is that a big or a small issue? And what's weird about this moment in this Republican primary is there's not a lot of disagreements. I mean, you listen to the speeches, the people that aren't Trump are trying to criticize Trump for Twitter or for his unique way in which he talks and leads. But beyond that, it's like they're all saying roughly similar things. Now, I think the one thing that Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo, it's kind of like the rise of neoconservatism. There's a little more of this Bush-Cheney, we got to get around the globe and be a little more interventionist. And obviously the American firsters are a little more like, we got problems here, we should focus on first. But it's weird to see candidates basically giving the same speeches.
Well, I'm a big fan of Pompeo's. He wrote a good book, by the way. But my advice to him and my advice to all of them, and this is what Kellyanne and I were talking about, none of these guys, including DeSantis, to some extent including my former boss, none of them have an economic plan for economic opportunity, for cost of living reduction, for affordability in life, and that, you know, people think that they're worse off than they were a year ago or 2 years ago. Here's Biden out there telling untruth after untruth about his sad economy, which is in high inflation and near recession. I mean, they got to get back on message, Matt. That's the thing. I mean, I like what the House Republicans are trying to do, but I'm kind of critical. I mean, I told this to Pompeo. I said, Mike, you know, you're a congressman. You're a free enterpriser. You ran a business. Talk about that stuff, because the middle class, the middle class is suffering under Biden, but we're not speaking to them. And I'm going to tell you something else. Look, I don't like woke any more than you do or Mercy or anybody else or Kellyanne. But you know what? This election is not going to be about woke. I mean, here, DeSantis goes and talks to the police and he's talking about woke. He's not talking about defending the blue line, giving them enough money, supporting them left and right. You know, he's talking about woke. Woke's not the problem for the cops. The cops need resources, and they need support, and they need tough criminal laws. I mean, really?
Well, I think it depends on how you describe it. So, to me, woke has become the rallying cry for leftism, right? It's about culturally trying to indoctrinate your kids, but it's also believing that the government solves all of our problems, and like unlimited taxation is what you need to solve more of our problems. Right. So I don't think they're weaving that in appropriately. I think they come to CPAC and they think, oh, these people want to hear the cultural issues, so we'll just hit on the cultural issues. Well, the reason why CPAC is so powerful is that this is where the home of conservatism is, and the central part of that, as we all know, is this idea of a limited government and that you earn your money and you don't want to turn it all over to the government.
Right.
When the government starts doing confiscatory taxation, they waste the money. But the second thing is they destroy families. When people don't have enough money to fill the tank with gas, to start maybe a little business, You know, and they start to feel despondent and hopeless about their economic future. Really bad things happen. I think that's the saddest thing in the country. It's something Reagan knew. Larry, you know that. You advised him. As I always say, you're the bridge between Reagan and Trump when it comes to these economic policies. And what we have to, what these candidates, if they want to be president, have to understand is that people are really sad because they don't feel hope. And it's not just the fact that the indoctrination of the kids on the gender and all that crazy stuff. It's that if this month you do not have the money to pay your bills.
That's it.
That is a terrible
thing.
I think you're right.
Yes, that's
nobody
it, Matt.
To articulate that.
They can't afford electricity, for God's sakes. That's it. They can't afford to buy eggs, for heaven's sakes. That's closer to it. Why is the press, you know, I didn't even know Pompeo was speaking. I didn't know Haley was speaking. I knew President Trump was speaking. But I'm reading all these newspapers, including conservative newspapers, that say that everybody's going to the Club for Growth in Palm Beach. Nobody's going to CPAC. But CPAC is getting a lot of leaders.
You know, I hate to say it, Larry. One of the things Trump got right is when he called it fake news. And Mercy and I both grimaced at that because it's like, well, you know, we know a lot of good journalists. I don't know if that's right. But over time, it really is disgusting. Here we have CPAC, completely sold out. Couldn't sell another ticket if we wanted to. They're all writing that, oh, it's not as big as past years. That's a lie. They're saying that the big speakers didn't come. We have 150 speakers. You know, because you always speak every year, it is really hard to find time for everybody. I had to turn away literally hundreds of people who would be great speakers. There's just not the space for it. Now,
I couldn't get down there. I couldn't.
I know you couldn't.
I tried hard. I
and
just
that was
couldn't
our
do
fault.
It.
It was our fault.
Because you didn't do it on Sunday. If you'd done it on Sunday, I would have done my Sunday slot.
You're exactly right. But, you know, DeSantis, he was planning on coming. We had a great slot for him on Friday for whatever reason. He couldn't come. You know, I love the Club for Growth. I have a lot of donor friends in that community, but that's a donor event. That's a big donor event. You know, that's not what's going to get you elected to be president of the United States anymore. It's these grassroots leaders. I think it's a missed opportunity. If you want to be the president, talk to the grassroots that are here from every 50 state and tell them why you want to be the president. Articulate it. It's one of the things I always loved about President Trump. He got that immediately, that CPAC was unique and special, because, yes, you have wealthy people here and everything else, but you have teachers, you have moms and dads, you have firefighters, you have people that $300 is a lot of money, and an airline ticket is a lot of money, but they save all year, and they come because they believe in their country. So this event has been amazing, but you're right. Do you know there's 2,000 credentialed media here, Larry? And they're here to destroy the event. They're not here to cover the event.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So what are some of the highlights? What have you heard that was especially interesting to you or Mercy or somebody?
Well, I'm watching the screen as I'm doing this radio interview, and I'm seeing Lee Zeldin, who came very close to being the next governor of New York, and I'm seeing your friend, my friend, Hogan Gidley, on a panel about why are the Democrats able to win all these close races. So it gets back to, you know, thinking about, you know, do we need to do a better job with early voting? And I think we do, and ballot harvesting, even though it's repugnant when you vote for somebody else. But it's legal in some states. We got to get better at it.
I think it's legal in most states, isn't it, Matt?
Not most, but many, too many. But, you know, in some states, you can just take the completed ballot and turn it in. In other states, you can literally take ballots that aren't marked on and mark them. That's really gross, but it is the way it is, and we got to change the laws, but we also have to follow the laws to our advantage. We have the former president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, is going to make history and speak at CPAC, obviously in Portuguese. He doesn't speak English. We just had all of our international leaders on the stage, Japan, Korea, Brazil, as I just said, Hungary. We're going to go to Italy. We went to Mexico. This movement for freedom is not just American, Larry, but you know what they all tell us in these other countries? If America doesn't get this right in this big war versus socialism, they're all doomed.
Always.
We got to save our country, Larry. That's what it comes down to.
When America goes off the track, everybody goes off the track. That is so true. Reagan said that 40 years ago. It's still true today. It's absolutely true today. What do you expect to hear from Ronald Reagan, from Donald Trump?
Well, I think I predict it'll be more than 30 minutes. What do you think, Larry?
I think there's a shot at it.
The second thing is, I think it'll be wildly entertaining.
Yes.
I really think the third thing is that the president I talked to him the other day on the phone. The one thing that's another great thing, characteristic about him, is like no one's too insignificant for him to call and get intel. And he was asking me about the speech and everything else. And I think he's taking this nomination fight very seriously. He knows he's got stiff competition. He thinks DeSantis is stiff competition. That's how come he's earned nicknames. That's how that works. And, you know, he's taking it very seriously. And I think that's good. Yeah. And in the end, we're going to have this big contest and, you know, some tough language will be hurled. We're going to get a nominee. And it's critical that we win. And if we don't, I really worry about the future of the country.
His polls are doing better, actually. Trump's polls are rising again. It's very interesting. I think going to that Palestine, whatever he's in Ohio, was a good move. But also, it's kind of interesting to me that DeSantis...
But uncovered, Larry. Uncovered by most media outlets. He goes to East Palestine. Janet Yellen and Joe Biden go to Ukraine. You can quibble over the priorities there. And but here's the thing. Disgusting that media outlets aren't covering him. He's the leader in the nomination for the Republican Party. He can't get covered because they don't like him. I just think it's disgraceful.
Yeah, well, as you say, it's always been the fake news. That was a good move of his. I'm just interested. He's had a good month of polling. A whole bunch of polls just came out, and he's doing actually better than he did before. We saw him. Judy and I saw him. We had dinner with him in Mar-a-Lago a couple weekends ago, President's Day weekend. He looked great. He sounded great. He knows he's got a good fight. I want him to just really have a strong economic part of his message when he speaks to CPAC. I've just got me. Actually, what time's he speaking?
Not till 6, Larry. You know his phone number. You
need to call him. I'll give him a call. I'm going to give him a call. That's exactly what I got to do.
Give him a call. Great advice, and I agree that the people here, you know, I wouldn't make it an anti-woke thing. I think woke is the rallying cry, but the economics is a big part of that. When big companies aren't running their companies on maximizing profits and creating great, cheap consumer products, but are instead, you know, indoctrinating their customers and their employees with this crap, I mean, then, you know, that's economics to me, because your fiduciary duty is to your shareholders, and that's to maximize your profits and let people who are in retirement accounts and stuff get the benefit of it. And they're not running their companies that way.
Well,
they're running their companies keeping Davos happy, and it's wrong.
No, that's right. But that, look, Disney, you know, the company is hurting. The Disney Plus streaming is hurting. I mean, because they're messaging, you know, what they've done to the traditional Disney stories is just pathetic. Anyway, Matt Schlapp, run and CPAC. Give a big hug to Mercedes Schlapp, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Larry, it's not the same without you. We'll see you next year. We'll be open on Sunday, okay?
You got it. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring in former prosecutor, National Review, and Fox News, Andrew McCarthy. We've got to talk about this Justice Department thing. Donald Trump is not going to get immunity for civil lawsuits. Every other president in history has had immunity. I'm Kudlow. Andy McCarthy up next. Stick around, folks.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show on 77 WABC.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.